morning. Anybody here?
Hi, Nancy. This
morning.
Is Jeannie.
Hey, Jeannie. How are you?
Good.
Somebody else?
Char and Joanne.
Char and Joanne are here. Somebody else is there?
Nancy.
Is there? Anybody else?
Mary Lou.
Has arrived.
Anyone else want to say hello?
Hello, Nancy. How are you?
I'm okay, Mary Lou. How are you?
I'm just surviving.
Surviving?
But I guess that's the main thing, isn't it?
Well, hopefully you'll get better than surviving. Anybody else? I think it was you, Mary Lou, who said that you sometimes stir your vital balance. While we were gone last week, I decided at the last minute to put the canister in the suitcase. And I was like, glad I did. And I, that's all I had. So I did stir it and it worked just fine. I was really surprised that it, dissolved as well as it did.
Well, see, I just do that because I'm usually, a lot of the mornings I take mine with me if I'm going to the country or something, you know. And, because it just works out. And then sometimes you're hungry and maybe I just won't have, I'll do one scoop of something, you know.
Uh-huh.
So I just find it all that way. But some, I thought, well, I'm doing sure telling people wrong because some people have not liked it. What type of a little deal had you been using to stir it up with?
Well, at home, I'm still putting it into one of the bullet things and shaking it just because.
Okay.
But I actually
has arrived.
I took a glass flask. I didn't want to use the plastic one they had in the room. So I took a glass from the restaurant and, you know, put water up to like an inch at the top.
Uh-huh.
An inch at the top. Dumped my two scoops in and I kind of waited maybe a minute to start stirring it. And I just used a spoon that I also took from the restaurant. I left them both in the room as like when we left though, so I didn't steal them.
Well.
But I just stirred it up and it really seemed to blend as well as when I shake it here, surprisingly.
Well,
and then
I
after I drank the first glass of it, I, as I do here, filled the glass with water again and drank, you know, to get some more of the residue off the side. And I do
mm-hmm.
the same thing here though. Works.
Well, good. I'm glad that little deal helped you, but that's what I had done, and I thought, well, maybe I've been wrong, you know, to tell people that's the way I was doing it. But I, even this summer, in the morning when it's been the heat so much, I put about 3 ice cubes in it.
Oh, yeah.
And I like it
that way. I haven't done that at all.
I like it that way because of, you know, it just makes it a little cooler with our heat right now. Later on, I probably won't.
Yeah, as the water gets colder when we get towards winter.
Yeah.
So one of my sons has been just stirring it also, so it does work for anybody who is in a pinch and doesn't have something to shake it in.
That's right, and I've even found out because one day all I had with me was a plastic, you know, picnic part.
Right. Oh,
and all, and I used it, and it works fine to stir it.
Oh, yeah.
It gives it a little deal. You know, you can really kind of whip it up.
Yeah.
You might remember to tell them to let it set a few minutes if it's the first time they've tasted it, because sometimes we're used to it and I don't notice it at all. So, but I usually mix mine ahead anyway, but it can have a chalky or powdery taste. And I've had several people say that to me because I still forget to say it, even though I'm telling you to say it often because I'm in the habit. Don't remember to say it. Not say, let it set. Wait. Don't drink anymore. Let it set for, maybe 3 or 4 or 5 minutes and it'll be completely hydrated and then just stir it again, of course.
It just
tastes
a little bit thicker to me almost than when I shake
it. Yes, it does.
And it could really
yeah,
all be the glass holding as much as the measure of glass.
Moisture.
I don't know how much it held. So I don't know how many ounces it was. But yeah, it was good. I was glad I did that. Anything?
Well, I've got to remember, Char, so thank you on that, because some people don't like the taste, and I'm just floored. They really
don't. Yeah, and I ask them when they say that to me, is it because of the texture or the taste?
Okay.
Oh, I guess you're right. It's probably the texture. I said you didn't let it set.
Okay.
And so you can get past that. At least I found part of the time that happened.
Well, I need that too because, as I said, and then I had some people saying they were mixing it, and I knew we weren't supposed to, you know, it said not with coffee and all that other stuff. But, so I don't know if it did any good or what.
And it could be even more water.
Huh?
You know, 8 ounces may not be enough for everybody.
Right. You can put more water in it, but it's the other things that take away from it being absorbed quickly right to the brain and the balance of it. And I can't remember what all he gave for reasons, but I know there were reasons on that CD that Roger Drummer did when he gave this. It was about an hour-long talk. It's 97 minutes. That's more than an hour. That's an hour and a half.
That's long.
Yeah, it's an hour. That's an hour and a half or plus. I'm trying to think. It's almost 100 minutes, and I think one of them, on one of the recordings, I think it's probably because of the introduction, it was even registered as longer. But anyway, you know, it's just those are little details, but sometimes the little details make a significant difference in other people's taste buds. So,
yeah, I've got to remind my person that disliked it so to be sure to try it that way.
And if they do it for a week, they're probably going to get used to it and like it anyway. They'll like the benefit of it.
Well, I just think the benefit's the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah, me too.
Anybody have any questions, thoughts, or concerns before we go on? I just have one comment while we were gone. We went to lunch on Friday, Marty and I, to a buffet, which I didn't realize what he meant when he told me it was a buffet, but it was. And there was a family sitting next to us. And I finally said to Marty, right before they left, I guess, I said, boy, those poor kids don't have a fighting chance in hell. The parents were both morbidly obese. The boys, one of them was probably 12, 14 years old, big. The younger one was probably maybe 8 or 9, big. And I mean, just to see what they ate and how they moved was just so heart-wrenching. And, you know, I remember one time when Dr. Phil had a young boy on his program, and the mother literally sat there and said, do you think it's my fault that he's fat? And Dr. Phil said, yeah, it is. Well, is it really that bad that I give him one cookie? And Dr. Phil said, yeah. And they finally actually took the kid away from the mother and to live with, a relative. And the kid lost weight and felt so much better and felt so much better about himself. And I just thought of that when I was watching this family. It was just really sad. But, you know, you don't have to go far to see the same situation in many places in the country. Anyway.
Yeah, where I am, it is that way.
Yeah.
And you see these people that can't walk and they're in these carts.
Oh, yeah.
And they're riding in every grocery store or Walmart. And you look, and it's all three of the family, usually. It's everyone, like you said, it's the younger children.
Well, yeah, who's getting, and Phil said to them, who's buying the food?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kid's just not going to the grocery store and buying food. Anyway. Here's another good one. Hearing loss is tied to obesity. Obesity in adolescence is associated with a range of cardiovascular and other health risks. Now, a new study adds one more. Hearing loss. Several studies demonstrated the association of obesity with hearing loss in adults, but now they're they're studying children, boys and girls ages 12 to 19, with the same association in teens. I never realized it was a problem with adults until this article. They found that being at or above the 95th percentile for body mass index, the definition of obesity in teens, was independently associated with poor hearing over all frequencies, and was almost double the risk of low-frequency hearing loss in one ear, may represent an early stage of injury that will later progress to both ears as it does in adults. The reason for the connection is not known, but the scientists suggest that inflammation, here we are back with that same word that we hear about everything, induced by obesity may be a factor in organ damage. It's quite possible that early intervention could arrest the progression, said the lead author. This is another reason to lose weight, but not to lose hope. This is from the New York Times.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, inflammation is at the base of every, my son told me that years ago, and it's really coming to fruition now that we're hearing it all the time.
Absolutely.
We've talked about ticks before. Tick bite tied to meat allergy. This is another paper pharmacy. I have two friends who have developed severe red meat allergies, one of whom was told by her doc that it was likely tick bite related. What can you tell us about this? Their answer, the condition your friends have developed is called alpha-gal allergy. It's triggered by a reaction to a tick bite. Eating beef, pork, lamb, rabbit, venison, or buffalo meat can result in a delayed anaphylactic response 3 to 6 hours later. Children are increasingly susceptible and may be hard to diagnose. Interesting.
Repeat a little bit of that, Nancy. Did they say it was coming from a bite that came through the animal?
It's an allergy. It's triggered by a reaction to a tick bite.
I'll declare. Because I know a lot of hunters have never hardly got it, diagnosed for the longest. And a game warden just really with Lyme's disease, from the tick bite.
Yeah, right. This doesn't mention Lyme's disease at all. It was online June 5th and 13th. It was a recent opinion on in allergy and clinical immunology.
Did you see that, Leo, last night on the news, and I hardly ever see it, but did you see where they had, I guess it's cloned in a laboratory, and how much money they had spent to clone ground beef? Did you see it?
I heard it.
I have the article right here.
Oh.
If you want me to read a piece of it, I can.
Go ahead.
I saw it on the news last night, and I online this morning. It's NBCNews.com, and the title is "Lab-Grown Meat Is Here, But Will Vegetarians Eat It?"
Awful. Let's hope they're not
using cattle stem cells and other ingredients. A group of scientists is working to convince the world that a more environmentally friendly meat is needed and can be made in the lab. No animal died to make this burger. No bleeding calf was separated from its mother. No manure polluted the waterways. No blood was shed on the slaughterhouse floor. The vegetarians and vegans aren't lining up to get a mouthful just yet. On Monday, Netherlands-based researcher Mark Post served his lab-grown burger to taste testers in front of a carefully invited audience in London. He says he's grown the meat entirely in the lab using stem cells from cattle nourished in a broth of chemicals and carefully engineered to grow into strips resembling muscle tissue.
Oh, yummy.
Doesn't that sound...
Jeannie!
Do we want chemicals?
I've got an idea for you. Since you've written other published articles, why don't you write back to them and say, oh, you didn't realize that vegetarians and vegans don't eat processed food that comes, that science food that's chemicalized? I think you need to write back and see if somebody else there would publish your rebuttal.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a good idea.
We are thoroughly educated to understand why the real food that God created, is better than what man can make. They haven't figured out how to make a human body yet.
Say it again, next one.
Isn't that crazy?
I think they need a rebuttal. They threw it on other stuff. Huh?
I wonder if there's there might be a comment section on this.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a $330,000 burger.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh. Yeah, that's costing some company a little bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a federal grant and we're all paying for it.
You never know.
You could ask that question, too. Say, can we have comments on this? I think this would be a great ongoing discussion.
It would be.
When I saw on TV, they were showing them spooning fat over it as they were frying it in a skillet, too.
Mm-hmm. And where did the fat come from?
Our oil.
I don't know.
Oh, Google, it was aided, the $330,000 donation from Google co-founder and entrepreneur Sergey Brin. So that he was a big funding behind it, was the Google co-founder.
I think maybe we ought to see how far we can broadcast it, who we can take it to, and see if we can't get a comment column going. I mean, the Oregonian, if it comes up in the Oregonian, maybe Butler would come up with something that would, because he's pretty strong as a writer. And boy,
that's
he sure stated his piece. And some of these other people, well, even the doctors that are, you know, educated. What an insult to humanity's mentality by assuming that nobody has any understanding about what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, oh man, that riles me. You can't tell.
Oh, I can't wait to finish reading. There's a whole thing about it, so I won't read anymore here. But I need to read it.
Where was that listed, Nancy or Jeannie?
NBCnews.com/technology. There's another one in there somewhere. It was on the MSN homepage. Oh, no, here it is. Okay. NBCnews.com/health/lab-grown-meat.
Health?
And then it has other things. That in it'll come up.
/lab, and then what?
lab-grown-meat-here. All these have dashes between them. Will vegetarians eat it? And then there's a number. But I think if you just put that part in, it'll come up.
Only the first one's a slash after .com.
Yeah. /health and then / and then lab-grown-meat all the way across.
Okay.
I'm going to copy this and I'll email it to you.
Okay, that'd be great.
Blank, yeah.
I mean, I don't need another project to take up time, but boy, this would...
No, but it's just it's a talking point with somebody, maybe.
I guarantee you the average person will say, what's the big deal?
Yeah.
Probably.
There are chemicals in everything anyway. You know, what's another source?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because most vegetarians, you know, the PETA...
has left the conference.
Who are doing it for that reason, yes.
Right. That's the big, you know, the one who commented here.
Yeah,
the world's
right.
Most vocal animal welfare organization. So,
but a lot of people who are vegetarians or even vegans eat a lot of processed food.
Right.
So, yeah, but it would help to bring their awareness up, too.
Sure.
I mean, you know, there it's still awareness. Because if they catch on for one reason and they go run with that, they may not pay attention. They may not have cookbooks. They may just be, you know, doing it on the cuff. And so, you know, I don't necessarily think that every one of them is thoroughly educated.
Oh, they're not.
And they're, you know, doing it out of ignorance and just we get lulled into these things because of the media and how many many more people are taking drugs in the United States than were before they went on TV with them, and, you know, all of this.
Has arrived.
No, it's the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was interesting in the article, too. They said the most challenging part was getting the color right. The material was colorless, which was a bit strange. It was more like chicken, so he added a bit of red beet juice and saffron to color the meat.
Wow.
Which were not
at least something good with it.
Yes. Yeah.
That's shocking. Rather than
there you go. We could get our saffron and some of our herbal
red beet juice
out
instead
of
red dye.
Sure.
Or red bugs.
That's almost shocking.
Yeah. Isn't it?
That's interesting. What about all these yummy vegetables and stuff out here?
Yeah.
I always go back to that article in the Vegetarian Times many years ago when it said put the veg back in vegetarianism. It talked about eating more vegetables. That's the whole point, not eating more grains and pastas and breads and, you know.
All the other stuff.
Potato chips and, you know, that kind of stuff. So anyway.
Yeah. Well, the other part in this article that I thought was interesting had to do with the nutritional benefits of cultured meat. And it says the jury is still out on that.
It reminds me of those, were they e-cigarettes that they came out with to help people who have to smoke and they're supposed to be, quote, healthier, and they really aren't. It sounds like
right.
the same kind of thing right now, interestingly.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep playing with the food they present to us. What can we do next to create
yeah.
something different? Anybody have any more comments before we go on?
Wow.
They're all trying
well,
to
here's
make
one
money.
Little short thing it says here, too. Even the U.S. government not only recognizes that a vegetarian diet is healthful, it recommends eating a plant-based diet with only a little meat as desired.
The U.S. government
that
says
means.
That?
No, this was in this article.
So they said the U.S. government?
Yeah.
The U.S. government. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
Now, they don't say the FDA
it was written
or the
by
EPA
Maggie
or the whoever. They just say the government.
Well, yes, and you can find
broad
it on the
spectrum statement.
On the pyramid, can you?
Yeah.
Not showing up quite that same way.
Well, they don't want anybody to have to take the blame at the government for it, so we'll just say the government.
For the responsibility.
Sure.
Interesting.
Very.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Jeannie, and Betty, and all of your people, everybody who had input on that one.
That one to death.
Well, on a more pleasant note, eat your cancer.
It wasn't, it wasn't alive to begin with, so I guess it didn't matter. Sorry.
Eat your cancer-killing vegetables. This is from Alison Roizen. You may think parsley is a throwaway garnish. It's packed with goodness. Celery is a snack that delivers fewer calories than it takes to digest. A myth. And artichokes are well worth the effort. They're packed with health benefits. But the real facts, the aforementioned three veggies, essential of a Mediterranean diet, are loaded with apigenin, A-P-I-G-E-N-I-N, an inflammation fighter that kills cancer cells. These foods can boost cancer treatments. Some studies show it makes packs with Taxol. I don't know if that's Taxol. I don't know. Used to treat certain breast cancers more effective or prevent cancer, breast, colon, skin, thyroid, and leukemia in the first place. There are 50 trillion, that's T as in Tom, to 75 trillion cells in the body, and inevitably some of them will become cancerous. But when your immune system can KO them, you'll never know or care that they were there. Your diet is an important component of the ammunition you need for that battle. and Apigenin is emerging as the toughest cancer fighter in the produce aisle. In addition to parsley, celery, and artichokes, you'll find it in apples, cherries, grapes, chamomile tea, and wine, and in herbs such as tarragon, cilantro, licorice, spearmint, basil, and oregano. Extra tip, add physical exercise to be a true cancer warrior. One recent study found among the most active men, longevity increases the risk of prostate cancer decrease. Wait, longevity increases the risk of prostate cancer decreases, and lung and colorectal cancer rates drop by 68 and 38% respectively. Wow. 68% for lung cancer drop with exercise and eating the veggies.
Mm.
So the better side of medicine. Then, in case anybody needs to ever go to a hospital, again, Roizen and Oz, there's progress in avoiding infections while in the hospital. The question was, my husband will be in the hospital for knee replacement surgery. How lucky for him. And I'm worried about hospital-borne infection. Any good news? Yes, a tremendous amount of progress is being made by hospitals to prevent infections from all causes and specifically from superbugs. You can always ask about a hospital's infection rate, both overall and within each department. You can also ask about the technology used to avoid infections. Here's what's new and tried and true. There's ever-improving older technology. Ultraviolet UV germicidal technology continues to be upgraded and is used for sterilizing ORs, air ducts, hospital equipment, hallways, and patient rooms. The steam vac sterilization by autoclaving for instruments and the use of germicides are effective. New stuff includes robo-like devices that can clean a room by dispersing hydrogen peroxide into the air and then detoxifying it. Some hospitals say this can reduce a patient's chances of being infected with drug-resistant bacterial strains of vancomycin-resistant enterococci, methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, and C. diff by 80%. 80%.
Wow.
Yeah. Lastly, there's what we call the all-hands-on-deck, in quotes, approach, combining the latest technological solutions with standard cleaning. Hand hygiene is the single most effective frontline defense against infection in hospitals, and I say it's all over. People are not washing their hands enough. That brings us to what you and your husband can do to help protect him while he's in the hospital.
Has left the conference.
Insist that everyone wash his or her hands with soap and water or alcohol-based hand sanitizer before entering the room, and then before each time there is personal contact in the room. It doesn't help to wash hands, pick up dirty dishes or linens, and then touch the patient. Got to wash even between touching your handbag. It is the dirtiest place next to the TV remote and your cell phone and the patient. I noticed when I was in the hospital the second time for sure, in each room, right where you walk in, they have the hand sanitizers right next to the sink. So, they're certainly making it more accessible for those who realize that they need to use it. And it's obviously quicker than washing your hands each time. I don't know if it's better for your hands, but it's certainly quicker. Interestingly, here's another article from San Jose Mercury News. Brain size may hint at math ability. Anybody want to hear anything about this? Okay. Speaking of hand washing, interesting, on the next page, disease prevention. Many don't wash hands after toilet use. Did you wash your hands properly after you use the toilet? Probably not. 60% of women after they use the public toilet in Michigan were watched. Overall, 10.3% did not wash their hands at all. 22.8% used no soap. Remainder did use soap, but only 5.3% washed for longer than 15 seconds, soap or no soap. CDC says proper washing means rubbing vigorously with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Men did worse than women, surprise, surprise. Almost 15% of them did not wash, compared with 7.1% of the women. people were more likely to wash their hands properly if there was a motion detection faucet, a clean sink, or a sign encouraging the practice. I hate those motion detector things. I can never get them going. The authors acknowledge that the presence of even discreet observers could have affected behavior, probably encouraging more hand washing. 48 million people a year get sick from contaminated food. CDC says 50% would not have gotten sick if people had washed their hands properly. Do as your mom says, wash your hands. So, interesting. And one more, CoQ10, AIDS heart failure therapy. You guys using CoQ?
Yes, I do.
I do, too. Especially if you're on statins. I read this years ago, and I know we've talked about it a little bit. Marty and I still both use it. It's excellent for your heart and muscles. My nurse practitioner suggested I start taking CoQ10 because I'm also on simvastatin to control cholesterol. Said it would be beneficial for my muscles and my heart. When I asked my cardiologist, he didn't have a clue, gee, what I was talking about. This is the Graydon's People's Pharmacy. Their answer is CoQ, also known as ubiquinol, is a natural compound made by the body. It's essential for mitochondria, the energy factories of our cells. Statin-type drugs deplete this crucial nutrient, and many docs now recommend it for patients on such meds. A study showed that CoQ10 reduced heart failure mortality by about half. The lead author encouraged his cardiology colleagues to add CoQ10 to standard heart failure therapy. So, one other thing, Noxzema relieves eczema, through skin. My father used this years ago. My three-year-old son has suffered from eczema on his legs and feet for 2 years. We treated it successfully with Elidel, I guess that's a med, but cancer concerns about its safety in children alarmed us. With consent from his doc, we suspended its use, tried many creams, then I started using Noxzema moisturizer, and there were no tears from him anymore. It wasn't burning his skin. To my great surprise, his skin responded almost immediately. Almost all traces of eczema are gone. We have been using this product for about 3 weeks in the morning and evening without washing it off. It's truly changed my son's life, and their answer is many of the readers have reported Noxzema can ease.
Has arrived.
This non-soap facial cleanser was developed in 1914, originally intended as a sunburn remedy, but early reports were helpful for knocking eczema, allegedly led to the name no eczema or Noxzema. So,
I remember people saying that. I mean, that was what I thought it was for. Let's put it that way. When you said that, I remember way back when. I do have a question for you. Long ago, I remember being told that, and it was by someone that I respected, can't pull the name up right now, that with CoQ10, you needed the red yeast rice also for a reason. I do not remember the reason. And I think I recall that the two are sitting next to each other at Costco. Now, does anybody know that my question is the amount? I've been taking them together, but I've been taking them just as the bottle recommended because there was no reference to the other on either bottle.
The red yeast rice, when we were talking statins many years ago, Char, red yeast rice was supposed to be for people who were on statins as effective. But I don't know that people who don't need it, you know, that their doctor says they need to be on a statin, I don't know that that you need to take red yeast rice as a supplement. I don't know.
They were recommending it with the CoQ10 because of a balance in your body that can be improved or negative if you don't take it by taking just one. There was something missing in the CoQ10 we needed, and it supplied. Anybody else remember that?
I was told that you didn't want to take the statins to help with your cholesterol. You just need to take the red rice. No, it's red yeast rice, isn't it? Or red rice yeast.
Right.
Anyway, and the CoQ10. But that was,
CoQ,
you were trying to eliminate that drug. I don't know if it's right or wrong.
It mentions rice flour, but it does not say red yeast rice. That would be a good one for Roger.
That would be.
Yes.
Or I can easily Google it too and see what
he has mentioned.
What comes up.
I remember several years ago he mentioned taking CoQ.
Well, I know I've asked the cardiologist because I have trouble with cholesterol, and they did recommend to do the CoQ10. They didn't say a thing about the red rice yeast.
Are you on statin?
No, not now. I need to be, and the doctor said it, but every time I take the statins, they just make my whole body hurt. And then after I read all the stuff on the prescription he gave me the other day, I just haven't taken it yet. I can't bring myself to do it.
Yeah.
But I've had cholesterol problems always. Are you taking a statin?
No. I've been off for a number of years.
I just did not want to take them. And maybe it's a mental block upstairs. I don't know.
No, there's enough negative out there on the statins that, and for people who have been on it for any length of time, it can be, they can really create some problems.
You know, even what Roger said about the fact that, you know, if that's what had been going to correct it, that, you know, it would have affected then how that heart disease, you know, with the statins in his talk, he mentions that a lot. About the statins, you know.
Well, the cholesterol is only an indicator. It's not a disease, and they told us not to put that kind of importance on it because some people will run, their body will produce more just as a natural defense. And if you're eating plant-based, you can't have plaque in your arteries because the only thing that develops plaque is animal products. Vegetables don't make any plaque. And usually the plaque is one of the indicators that the cholesterol is high, or causes the cholesterol to be high. So it is the animal fat, the fat in your blood. So, you know, it's like, okay, there is, in fact, there was one article that stated that people with a lower cholesterol rate were having a higher episode of various types of heart disease. Just from plaque, huh?
One thing we've talked about is the size of the cholesterol. And if it's the small ones allow the plaque to build up, I believe, and the larger ones are healthier because they don't clump up. I think that's the way it is. Rather than, I may be reversing those, but I think that's what it is. Because
I remember you reading, or somebody reading that too.
Yeah, I mean, the chiropractor I used to listen to said it's the size more than the number. Years ago.
The size? What do you mean? Oh, like my HDL's fine, but my cholesterol was high. You know.
My doctor said, don't pay any attention to it then. The total count, he says, all you need to be concerned about, what's much more important, is having the HDL high and the LDLs low.
Uh-huh. Well, I'll go back and look at my blood work, but my HDL is fine, you know. It's in the range that it, or lower. And I don't know, so I need to, but they didn't do an LDL. I didn't see it on there. That's what I was shocked about. But my cholesterol was high. So I've got to rework on it. I don't know what I'm doing. I thought surely with all the things, and especially with our drink, you know, that it would be best, but it wasn't. So I've got to do more work.
Well, remember that it takes your body at least 90 days to readjust to things. So I don't know how long you've been on the shake, too.
Yeah, well, since February, I guess. No, it came out in February. That's about March or so.
Okay.
Fine. I don't know. I just haven't brought... I filled the prescription, but I just haven't brought myself to take it because I know what it did before, but then I also know that my mother had high cholesterol always.
Mm-hmm.
So I know there's hereditary, you know.
they're
well, I know Carol Guth was telling everybody to get off the statins. She just literally practically screamed at a couple of people that said, you do not need to be taking those. Do something else. Do not take those statins. They are not good for your body.
I just feel like it's bad, and I haven't taken one tablet. I nearly didn't want to have it. My prescription filled, and I talked to the pharmacist and went all over it, and I said, I don't think that I need to have this. And I talked to the doctor because he knows before that I don't, you know, like it, and I don't take medicines besides what I take with my other stuff. So I don't know what to do.
What
but I haven't taken it because I feel the same way about statin drugs.
What's your cholesterol, Mary Lou?
Oh, I think it was 2-something. I don't know where my little...
has left the conference.
I'll tell you someday what it is and see what y'all think. I can't find my little sheet here on it right now. It's 260-something. And it was what, you know, it's higher, and I don't know. But it might also, a lot of it sometimes goes with stress. I know that. I've read about it.
I was just going to say that.
I know. Yeah, let's see here. Let's see, my cholesterol. That's what I couldn't believe, that my cholesterol, yeah, was high. They said, you know, he looked at it, and he kind of stood around for a long time because he knew, but my cholesterol was 269. The LDL was 190, and my triglycerides were high. I couldn't believe that. But anyway.
How much fruit do you eat?
How much what?
How much fruit do you eat?
Well, I eat some, yeah, at this time of the year, I really like cantaloupe, and I've been trying to leave it till in the afternoon, not ever having it this morning, but see, my HDL was 47.
And that could be higher, too.
Yeah. It could be between 40 and 60, and see, it's on the low.
Your triglycerides comes from too much, like, if you eat muffins and... Any of that kind of stuff, but your fruits and all of that too. So that's measuring.
I think my fruit that it was coming from,
mm-hmm,
and all.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, with doing that because I don't eat processed food.
I remember Ron Dillman having a huge problem with his triglycerides, and they put it totally to. You know, just exactly what you said, Jeannie. But it was mostly the fruit that was the culprit in his diet because they were big fruit eaters. They always snack on fruit.
I was listening to Roger's CD on our trip, and that was when he said, you know, if your triglycerides are high, it's from sugar. And, you know, you may say, well, I don't eat sugar. Even fruit can do it.
Yeah, fruit can do it, and I know it probably at this time of the year.
Dean Ornish the other day, and I think it was Furman both, commented that fruit should be left only for, and also Brian Clement, absolutely no fruit until your body is totally healthy. That was his statement.
I'm hearing more about the fruit, you know, and
that's,
I knew that somebody else
interview.
Told me not there have any fruit until after lunch when you had fruit, you know. And I've been trying to do that with doing a drink and everything, you know. But I've got to work on something, but I just can't bear, I don't know, I just can't hardly take those. I've had them before, years and years ago, that they gave me. Levitar and then Crestar, and I went through all of them, and every time they make my body ache.
It doesn't like them.
It doesn't like it. And my mind doesn't like it, so I won't probably take it. That prescription will just sit there.
Well, also on the fruit, I mean, when you say you were talking just about the
statin. Yeah, the statin. But I'll watch it on the fruit. And my big splurge, I guess, is when the cantaloupe are in season. I'll have occasionally some.
And they're hard. They're one of the hardest ones on digestion, cantaloupe. One other thing that I did, Jeannie, is make your red lentil hummus again. And I doubled the batch because I've got three people that I made some for, besides Danny and I.
And Danny delivered one package this morning already. And with the veggies, a bag of veggies that they can munch on instead of having processed, or something else for a snack, because it's the healthier thing to do. And I did use the frozen lemon in it. I made a double batch and used half a lemon, and you could definitely taste the difference in the amount of lemon. So cut way back if you're grating lemon for the amount compared to the amount of juice you would need. I would say at least 50%, but I thought it was delicious. Now, somebody else might think it was a little on the tart side, but I thought it was wonderful. So we'll see.
And Shaw, you're just going ahead and grating right on into your lemon once it's frozen, like after you use the rind, go right on with the...
Right. If there's any bad spots, I cut them out, of course, but, it's so easy to do with one of those microplanes. It's even faster than juicing. Because you get more out of it, and you don't need as much fruit. And with it being stated to have been tested to be so much more valuable to the body than just the juice, I do pick the seeds out usually. I see them. Or when I'm putting in, it'll show it. I do it into a big glass measuring cup or bowl when I'm grating it, and then put it and then drop it in. But that's a really slick idea and also exciting.
And are you still doing the same thing with your limes?
I've just done the lemon.
Okay.
But yes, you could do this.
I'm thinking I'll do the same with the lime. Because I like both flavors, but I really like lemon. So.
We are way, way past time, so.
Uh-oh, I'm sorry. Nancy, we got off on your call. I apologize for mentioning stuff.
I've got to go, too. I've got another call coming in, guys. Bye.
Have a good day, everybody, and we'll be back tomorrow. We can continue these conversations.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
To learn more about NECAN, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.